This morning's reading is from Acts and John, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So ends the reading.
Last year, when this text from John and the Psalm 23 were the suggested readings for the Sunday, I asked the congregation how many of you had experience with sheep, and an awful lot of hands went up. And because I'm not anything close like an expert on sheep, I decided to focus on the Acts text this morning. Toward the end of the first century of the Common Era, the author of the Gospel of Luke wrote a second volume. The book of the Acts of the Apostles. In Luke, the author is proclaiming what he calls the remarkable, quote, things that had happened. The good news of God's saving act in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And then in the second book, a continuation of Luke, if you will, he writes about the continuation of Jesus' ministry through the power of the Holy Spirit in the workings of the early church. The book of Acts is a marvelous book. It begins with Peter's preaching, and then the gift of the Spirit on Pentecost, and the conversion of thousands of people, and healings and wonders, and more preaching. Trouble in the early church, need for councils in Jerusalem, the conversion of Paul, Paul's journeys around the known world, more preaching. And throughout it, you have, between the stories and the sermons, linking passages very much like this text from the end of the second chapter that is a suggested reading for today. Short summaries, if you will, that come up reminding and telling the people that in the midst of the working of the Holy Spirit, the church was continuing to flourish and grow, counting more and more people as participants. And they would come together and always talk about sharing the teachings of the apostle, breaking bread together, and the prayers. Now, biblical scholars do not agree whether today's brief passage is an idealized description of the early Christian community or not. But does it matter? Our ancestors in faith did the same things that we do today. They bore witness to the same things that we're called to do and to be. The marks identify us as distinctively Christian communities. The devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching, we study scripture, we listen. To fellowship, we're pretty good at that. To the breaking of bread and prayers, it's not very difficult to draw parallels between the early church and the church today. Read our newsletter or any church monthly newsletter. And what do you find? Times of fellowship? Times of study? Times of prayer? Times of breaking bread together. What we may be missing, is not the teaching and learning, not the fellowship, not the prayer, not the coming together, but what the author of Luke says is the awe and wonder. That may be passing us by without our taking notice. The fellowship, the breaking of bread, the prayers, maybe just too routine. And we neglect to see the wonders and signs about us. Now this reading from Acts this morning is pretty short. But if we pay close attention, and if we're really brave enough to share it with others, it can make an awful lot of people uncomfortable. For the author is saying it is not just lives that need to be transformed, but it's the community itself that needs to be transformed. God is still speaking to us today, we affirm. And in this text, God is speaking about the ownership and accumulation of property to excess. the movement of wealth upward in disproportionate ways that endanger the poor and the middle class. I am in the midst of reading, as we speak, about a third of the way through Capital for the 21st Century, a book by the French economist Thomas, and I think you pronounce his name, Piketty. I've seen reviews, but I've never heard his name pronounced, where he's looking at the concentration of wealth around the world and the growing inequality. I think he's got some prescriptions or possibilities, as I read, you know, the introduction, but I'm not there yet. It's a fascinating and difficult read, especially one who's haven't had economics for 50 years. And if you've been listening to the new Pope just last week, he again raised concerns about the growing concentration of wealth and the need to have a more equitable distribution of God's abundance. Now, I suspect most of us are tempted to side with the scholars who think that this text is just an idealized version of the early Christian community, a way of living that they weren't really able to achieve. It surely makes it easier to kind of get us off the hook a little bit. But whether it was idealized or not, the text contains a vision of what a community that is under God might look like, where there's enough for all. Now, I know how many of us would respond, because that's how I respond. Well, we live in a very different time, a very different place, where we hear property, private property, actually being called sacred. So the challenge for us is how to imagine that we could remain true to the heart of the ideal that's in this text, of what the reign of God would look like in actual practice in community. And it takes some courage and some imagination, as well as a passionate commitment to justice, to think about what the kind of sharing that Acts is talking about would look like in community. Just as awe seems to be in short supply, even with the multiple times the young people are saying, oh, isn't that awesome? So what the author calls, quote, glad and generous hearts, seem fairly rare in our time also. Whatever ways the church has failed in the last 2,000 years, in persecutions or religious wars, in inquisitions or hypocrisy, the church has still passed on the message of God's saving love, of God's forgiveness and grace, of God's new life and hope in Jesus Christ. The church has held on to the dream, to the vision of God's reign on earth. We pray for it every Sunday together. A time when every tear will be wiped away, when hatred and war and violence will be no more, when love and justice and mercy and joy and peace will fill the earth. And with this text from Acts, when there will be enough for everybody. Enough for everybody. And sharing will mean scarcity for none. That short text can be a challenge to those of us who seek our security in our property, in our possessions. But the vision of the reign of God and the vision of this text from Acts is of a community of generous and glad hearts that shares in a way that there is scarcity for none. Amen.